father unto you. And that quickened my mind to this scripture in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 8. Not only is he a father, but in addition to the many ways that he can multiply that relationship, that he can increase the means by which he ministers, I'm thankful that he is also our potter. Praise God. And so Isaiah declares it here. Let's read together out loud Isaiah 64 and 8. But now, O Lord, thou art our Father. We are the clay, and thou our potter, and we all are the work of thy hand. Praise God. Amen. And when you have the master, when you have the one who created all things, be the one working in your life. Oh, what confidence, what peace, amen, and what completion and what fulfillment the Lord could bring into our lives, amen. You may be seated. God bless you. Now, if it were all the outcome being assured, and of course it is, of course it is, but the devil has his plan. The devil has his agenda. And he recognizes how you have taken his place as the favored, as the worshipers, the one who sings the praises of God, where he at one time perhaps was involved in that. Now you have displaced him. And that makes him mad. That makes him your enemy. That makes him your adversary. And he does everything that he can to upset what God has in mind. When we declare, you're our Father, Lord, you're our potter, we're just the clay, we're the work of your hands, the devil is not going to just sit idly by and say, okay, I guess that's the way it's going to be. Oh, no. He rises up with sin. And verses 6 and 7 in this same chapter help us to understand what the conflict is and what the difficulty is. Verse 6 says, we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and we see the leaves fading and falling in this fall season. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. That is not a pretty picture. That is not something that would indicate a perfection or a move towards what God's plan would be. Moreover, verse 7 lets us know there's none that calleth upon thy name, that stirreth up himself to take hold of thee. There's an indifference. There's an apathy. There's a look and a search somewhere else for the things of completion and satisfaction. For thou hast hid thy face from us and has consumed us because of our iniquities. So the devil steps forward, and he ups his game. He increases the way that he is going to move with perversion, with iniquity, with transgression. But oh, thank the Lord. The Lord doesn't sit idly by. The Lord doesn't just say, well, this is my plan. This is what we can do. If you want it, come for it. If not, that's your choice. No, thank God, he is aggressive in his plan. As the lesson today that Brother Mike shared, the Lord gave himself a ransom. He surrendered himself to the will of God on that cross. And thank the Lord, he endured the pain and the shame so that there would be the opportunity that we would come to the Lord with a salvation that is so great. And thank God, when the fullness of time was come, the Lord sent his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Thank God, and he came in the flesh, and he paid the price of redemption. Crucifixion on the cross is not a pretty picture. It was not an experience that for 6 hours the Lord would just happen to be there, nailed to that cross. No, it was a horrible time. It was an awful time. And then his burial in the tomb was not a finality in terms of how man would look at death. No doubt the disciples mourned. No doubt they shed tears. No doubt there were times that they felt all is lost. And our hope is gone, and the promise that we thought was being fulfilled is brought to nothing. But thank God, the Lord and his plan recognize there's going to be a change. There's going to be a demonstration of power. There's going to be a conquering of death. There's going to be a recognition that there can be death, burial, and resurrection in the life of you and I. Hallelujah. So that the power of God is displayed in a change. Hallelujah. There is a death. There is a burial. And thank God there is a resurrection, because the Lord fulfilled his plan just as he determined. And we can experience salvation. Now, I like the way Isaiah records the word of the Lord. Now, O Lord, thank God, that is something that we can claim even now. 2 Corinthians 6 and 2 emphasizes it to the degree that we are to understand now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Thank the Lord, there doesn't have to be anything else prepared except our heart. There doesn't have to be anything else done except repentance and coming to the Lord with our hearts in sincerity and asking the Lord to change me, asking the Lord, forgive me, asking the Lord, make me what you want me to be. Hallelujah. And that work can be accomplished. That work can be done. Now is a day of miracle. Now is a day of power. Now is a day of healing. Hallelujah. And most important above all else, now is a day of salvation. A salvation that is so great that it can cover every base. It can cover every iniquity. It can cover every sin. It doesn't matter what has been done, what has been accomplished, how far down we have fallen, or to what degree of perversion. Thank God the Lord brings about a change. The Lord brings about a difference. The Lord brings about salvation. And the importance of now needs to be emphasized. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Thank God our faith can reach out and receive what the Lord has available for us, a change that can only come by the power of the Lord. With faith, everything is possible. We can please God with faith. We can know the power of now, because God is now. Peter and John were on their way to the temple at the hour of prayer. Now, Peter and John declared the word of the Lord. Being the ninth hour, they stepped into that realm of prayer. You know, that man sat at that gate. 40 years, he had never taken a step in his life. The gate beautiful is where he begged alms. I don't know if he saw the Lord teaching in the temple. I don't know if he heard the voice of the Creator, the one who spoke everything into existence, the one who made the stars also, and we can't even number them today. Oh, I don't know if he heard that voice in the distance, or if he saw the Lord walking with his disciples, but there came this day, there came this time, there came this now, hallelujah, that the power of God was going to be displayed on his behalf. Peter and John stopped and said, "Look on us." And he looked expecting to receive. But what he heard next was perhaps a chance for his hope to be squelched, for everything to go downhill for him to wonder, is it ever going to happen for me? Peter declared, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Hallelujah. And the miracle happened. The power was displayed. The healing came forth. God did a work for the now that he was looking for. Thank God we have one who is able to do that work. Now we have received, 1 Corinthians 2 and 12 says, not the spirit of the world. And that spirit is growing worse. That spirit is encouraging more and more iniquity, more and more perversion, more and more sinfulness. We've not received that spirit, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Oh, thank the Lord. There's an increase. There's a now. There's a completion that the Lord wants to bring us into if we'll keep hungering for the things of the Spirit, if we'll keep reaching for the things of the Holy Ghost, if we'll keep letting the Spirit of God operate in our lives of which we have received, there will be more given to us. Hallelujah. And it will be freely given to us. Oh, God, help us to have that now we have received. Praise God. I'm thankful the Lord is able to do that work. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now thanks be unto God. We give thanks unto the Lord. We give praise to Him. We worship His name. Now thanks be unto God. He always causes us to triumph in Christ. Hallelujah. And maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. How is it that there's always a triumph? There's always a victory. There's always an assurance. Hallelujah. And we can share the Savior and know His power is available to all in every place. Thank God the Lord is able to manifest His power. He's able to bring forth His strength. He's able to show His goodness. Oh, that God would help us to understand a thing. And rise up within us because we know how powerful our God is, and what He's done for us will be done for others as well. Thank God that we can share it with Him. Hallelujah. Amen. Now we have hope. 1 John 3:2. Now are we the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, oh, thank God, He is going to appear. Thank God He is going to come. Thank God there is going to be the sound of the trumpet, the voice of the archangel. Thank the Lord, and we will rise to meet Him. When He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Oh, hallelujah, now. God, help us to have a now in our experience. Not just 10 years ago, 15 years ago, not just 6 months ago, but now the Lord and His power is able to do a work in our lives. Hallelujah. He's our Lord and He's our Father. I'm thankful the Creator became the baby in Bethlehem. The Creator became the 12-year-old in the temple. The Creator became the carpenter that worked at His Father's side. The Creator became Messiah and fulfilled the promises of God. The Creator became the crucified Christ. The Creator became the resurrected Lord. No wonder His name is called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Praise God. Now, we know in our time, the onslaught of the enemy, the terrible wickedness, and the media and different things that have made ungodliness so available, images that involve children and so on in pornography. We know that is a terrible thing, but I'm thankful that we are in the care of a Father who is compassionate. A Father who is able to minister to us through His Spirit and through His presence. Amen. And the blessings that He is able to provide. Now, we mentioned that passage, we've not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God. That came from our Father. How much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Thank God that there is that provision that the Lord would make for us. And Jesus describing what the Father can do. Fear not, little flock, he said. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Thank God that there is such a range of blessing. There is such an increase of what God is able to do in our midst. I'm thankful that we can know the power of the Lord to minister in our midst and how he's able to do that work. When we seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, we know the promise is all of these things will be added unto you. Thank the Lord for tremendous abundance that the Lord would provide for us and the provisions that he would make. Amen. And along with that, Father, comes discipline. The writer to Hebrews in chapter 12 talked about being subject to the Father of spirits. We are subject to our natural fathers. How much more should we be subject to the Father of spirits? He chastens us, not for his pleasure, but for our profit, to make us what he wants us to be, to give that direction, to give that guidance, to provide for us in such a tremendous way. Thank the Lord for our Father. He is also the potter. We keep the right perspective. We are the clay. He is the potter. We're not trying to reverse that. We're not trying to change it. We're not trying to manipulate it into our favor of whatever means in whatever way. I look at what Isaiah would write. There are several places that he mentions about clay and so on. How can the clay say, he didn't make me? He had nothing to do with it. That would be ridiculous. And yet Israel steps into that realm. Paul quotes from that passage in Romans chapter 9. How can that which is made reply to the Lord? Why have you made me this way? Why did you create me in this manner? I'm thankful that we can recognize what Jeremiah understood in the object lesson that he heard in what he wrote about in chapter 18 of the book of Jeremiah. Now, pottery was very common. Pottery was something that was seen in every household, in every business, and certainly in every experience. We know about the widow woman who felt it necessary to receive more and more vessels because she had that bottle of oil, that pot of oil, and she was going to pour it out. And every vessel that she gathered and she and her sons borrowed, as she poured, every one of them was filled up. And then the prophet told her, sell all that you have and pay off your debt, and you and your household live on the rest of it. Oh, I'm thankful God's able to provide in that way. When the Lord went to perform his first miracle, and his mother told the servants, whatever he tells you, you step out and do it. You go ahead and obey. Whatever he says, it doesn't matter. And because you open up the limits with your obedience. That's a principle we've got to make sure about in our day. Amen. So he told them, fill the pots with water. Water? We don't need water. We need wine. They've run out of it. The celebration is hampered a bit here. And there's a mark on the household because of it. No, you go ahead and fill it with water. They filled it up with water, six of them. Amen. Gallons and gallons of water. Now draw out. What? Again, we don't need water. They drew out. They took it to the governor of the feast, and he made the exclamation. We usually save some of the worst, maybe some of the less quality for Anne, because everybody has been full now, and so we don't have to be so careful about the quality. But you've saved the best for last. Oh my. Again, if we can understand how great our God is in the blessing that was there, that pottery was made by somebody. That pottery served a purpose. That pottery was effective. And Jeremiah stands there and watches the potter working on his wheel. It was flawed, but the potter made it over again. He didn't toss it away. He didn't say, that's it. He didn't say, I'm done with it. No, he made it again. And the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and saying, can't I do that with Israel? I know their mistakes. I know their flaws. I know their failures. I know how they've messed up, but my hand is still upon them. My hand can still shape them. My hand can still form them. Amen. Thank God that the Lord is able to do that in our lives. The Lord is able to make a difference for us. The Lord is able to remove impurities. He's able to impart perfection. He's able to bring completion. Thank God for the goodness of the Lord. Amen. Jeremiah didn't record it, but the potter also works with a finish. The potter also works with a kiln. And sometimes we want to draw back from that fire. We don't want that fiery trial. We don't want that problem. We don't want that difficulty. But it's part of the process of what God wants to do in our lives. Oh, God, help us to keep our eye upon Him and to recognize He is our Father. He is our potter. Amen. He's the one that the Lord would bring. You know, it's significant that those two terms are linked together here in this verse. A father who has compassion and who has love, who has concern. A father who would offer protection and provision. A father who would even give his life for his children. And then a potter who may be proud of his product, who may be willing to put in hours and expend time and effort finding the clay that is going to be most effective for what he wants to do, but could be indifferent, could decide, well, this is not going to work. I'll toss it aside. I'll start again. I'll do something more. And the potter's field is where the rejects end up. The potter's field is where the broken and the useless end up. The potter's vessel, broken and buried. In Jeremiah 19, the lesson continues. Verse 11, it cannot be made whole again. But thank God, this potter has your best interests at heart. This potter can see the end from the beginning and knows how he wants to shape, how he wants to fulfill, how he wants to bless. Thank God, the clay can be remade. The clay can be reborn. Thank God, the change that the Lord can bring in our lives can be a formation again of his will and his desire. Not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Oh, thank the Lord that there is that blessing of the potter and how he desires to do what is right. Amen. And he makes known the glory of his riches upon the vessels of mercy and the blessing of the Lord that continues there. Amen. Brother C.H. Yaden was the president of the Bible school when I arrived there. He became the superintendent of the Oregon District. I heard him preach some fantastic messages, and the wisdom that he was able to bring forth to all of the students and those who were there to hear him. And I particularly remember him saying, if we don't have within us that which is above us, we will soon yield to that which is around us. And oh, thank God, that which is above us can become that which is in us. And our Father and our Potter is desiring to impart those qualities. He's desiring to impart those attributes. He's desiring to put within you that which can withstand that which is around you. And you don't have to be overcome of evil. You don't have to be overwhelmed with iniquity. You don't have to wonder, how is this going to turn out? Thank God, we can keep our eye upon the Master. We can keep our hand in the potter's hand. Hallelujah. We can walk with our Father and know the goodness that is there to minister in our midst again and again. Because the scripture says, we are the work of his hands. You see, for approximately 18 years, the Lord worked as a carpenter. He learned that trade from his earthly father, Joseph. from the time he was 12 years old to the time he was 30. He spent that time as a carpenter. The carpenter's trade is what he was involved in. He learned how to judge the lumber. He learned how to measure. He learned how to cut. He learned how to form. He learned how to shape. He learned how to take care of the tools and store them in a particular order. He knew all of that. His hands became calloused. There were blisters that were there. There were splinters that he removed. For 18 years, he worked in that trade until the day came that he put those tools aside for the last time, Brother Dave. Amen. No longer needing that trowel, no longer needing that saw, no longer needing that chisel. Put them aside for the last time. And he stepped out to where his hands could touch a leper. And there would be a change, praise God. Where he'd lay hands on the dead and they would rise again. All of that against the law. All of that opposed to what was written in the law. But the Lord came forth to bring a new creation. Hallelujah. A new covenant. A new way and a new blessing. They got all upset about the work being done on the Sabbath. But they should have seen all the other things that he was doing in opposition to the law. Because he was bringing in a new testament. He was bringing in a new covenant. Thank God. And he sealed it with his blood. He brought it forth with the power of his name. He poured out the blessing of his spirit. And thank God that work is what he desires to do within us. The touch of his hand, his work-worn hands would become nail-scarred hands for you, for your redemption, for your salvation. Again, Isaiah 49 and 16. He said, I've engraven you upon the palms of my hand. It was though it was a reminder. It was though it was something that he did to require remembrance. But not for him. No, he doesn't forget. What were the purpose of the nail scars? So that we would remember why they were put there. So that we would understand the price that he paid. So that we would not forget how horrible those 6 hours on the cross were. And then we would not just take lightly this aspect of sin. We would not just forget how difficult it was for the Lord to pay for our salvation. But we would step into the realm of understanding how great our God is and how wonderful he is. Praise God. I don't know what the timbers of the cross were made from, what wood was involved. But Isaiah records how in chapter 44, they look at the cypress, they look at the cedar, they look at the oak, they look at the ash, all of these varieties of wood. And they cut it down and they bring it home. And they warm their house and they cook their meals. And then they carve an idol out of the same wood that they cook their meals and warm their house, and they worship it and they pray to it. How ridiculous. No wonder the Lord was so frustrated at times with the people of Israel. How did they forget the story of Dagon, of the Philistines, and the ark being brought into that temple, and Dagon falling on his face? He's put the poor thing back up. Oh, you poor idol. They dust him off. They stand him back up on his particular place. The next day he's fallen with his head off and his hands off. How could Israel forget the demonstration of God's power over those idols? How could they move into the realm that they would worship idols even beyond what the heathen people that they were displacing in the promised land would do? How could they step into that realm? We shake our heads and wonder. But yet the danger is there. Yes. Idols. Something that's going to displace God in your life. Something that's going to become more important than your time with the Lord. Something that is going to take priority. And they're all around us. And the devil makes sure that there's an abundance and we've got to be on guard. That doesn't mean a paranoia. That doesn't mean I'm on such shaky ground. Oh, no, don't lose your confidence. Hold on to what God is doing in your life. Just make sure nothing takes the place of God in your life. Nothing moves the Lord out of your priority. Amen. And thank God that we're able to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, there's another clay that I want to remind you of. We are the clay. He's the potter. But there's another clay that Psalm 40 talks about. Verse 2, He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my steps. In the old days of telephone books, telephone books just about useless anymore. Yellow Pages, I guess we can still take a look, but most people go to Safari or whatever browser they've got on their device and find whatever phone their number they're looking for, whatever business, and look at the menu and, my goodness, all kinds of things. But you might remember in the phone book, there was a warning. Stay off the beach in Turnagain Arm. Do not go down on the beach. Do not step into the sand. Do not walk out onto the low tide. Those warnings were there in various pages. You flip through the phone book, and there it would be, a little warning on the bottom of the page. Stay off the mud flats. Those warnings are there because there's miry clay, glacial silt that can trap. It looks so attractive. It looks like you can go out and frolic. It looks like you can run and just enjoy the sunshine and the beautiful day and be out there on the mud flats. But no, there's danger, and people have lost their lives as a result. We haven't heard that or seen that recently, but there have been horrible, horrific things that have taken place. I know the devil can try to make you forget the horrible pit. I know the devil can make the clay look so attractive and so harmless and seem as though it would be to your benefit to go forth and participate or visit that place again. But remember, it's horrible pit. It's miry clay. How much better to be upon the rock. Amen. Set your feet upon a rock and establish your steps. Establish how you go, how you move, how you progress. Thank God for the power of the Lord and the blessing that He has in store for us as we follow after Him. Amen. I want to continue in His workmanship. I want to continue in what the Father has for me, what the potter is able to bring forth. Ephesians 2 and 10 lets us know we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He prepared beforehand for us to walk in those good works, to continue in them, and not to step aside, not to detour, not to go another direction. No, we're His workmanship. Workmanship means the quality imparted to a thing in the process of making. Something made or produced. Thank God He continues His workmanship upon us. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Thank God for that power of newness that he's able to bring into our lives, a new creation. Old things passing away, all things becoming new. Praise God. We enter the waters of baptism for a cleansing. We receive his presence and his spirit for power. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Peace that passes understanding is for your stability. Thank God that we can continue in that work that he desires to do in our lives. And it is an ongoing work. Paul said in Colossians 1:29, his working, which worketh in me mightily. Praise God. That's the kind of work God can do. A mighty work, a thorough work, a complete work, a perfect work. Let's not step back to having just a trickle, just a drip or two of the Spirit of God. No, let there be a well of living water springing up into everlasting life. Praise God. And the power of the Lord to do a work in our lives. Being confident of this very thing. Philippians 1 and 6 lets us know, be confident of it. He which hath begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. There's going to be a finishing. He's the author and the finisher. Praise God. He is going to bring it to completion. He is going to bring it to fulfillment because you are complete in him who is the head of all principality and power. There's nothing that can resist him, nothing that can hold him back except your will. And oh, I pray that God would help us to recognize the work that the Father and the Potter wants to do within us as positive work. It's beneficial work. It's powerful work. You know, it's significant that the Lord teaching his disciples to pray started out with our Father. He wanted that relationship to be first. He wanted us to understand how important it is that he be our Father, which art in heaven. Hallowed be thy name. And it goes on. Praise God. And we know how perfect and how wonderful our Father is. His love, his compassion, his protection, his presence. Praise God. And then likewise, the Potter. He can shape and form. He can perfect. He can make you useful. Praise God. To where the Bible lets us know it's God working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I'm thankful. We know what he can do in our lives. Stand with me now, please. What realms of blessing, what possibilities, what potential does God have for us as our Father and our Potter? How can he open up even more of his goodness as we understand that the one who is the same yesterday, today, and forever, who did the work for the Israelites, who did the work for the prophets, who did the work for the disciples, able to do that for us today. Praise God. Rome was not a pretty place. Roman rule was not what could be construed as conducive to Christian living. Oh, no. Nero crucified Christians by the thousands, used them to light his gardens. He made them torches. Oh, no. It was not conducive to an increase and a demonstration of power, but yet God did that. The church continued to grow. Believers continued to increase. People continued to make their turn from that society that was so rampant with sin and moving to a realm of righteousness that the Lord had available. Praise God. And he made possible because of people's repentance, people's exercising faith, determining there is a better way. There is something greater. There is something stronger. There is something more powerful. Praise God. And the Father and the Potter did the work in their lives. Amen. Thank God he does that for us today. Now, I just feel like there's something crying out inside of me today. Oh, God, I want you to be the Father that you want to be in my life. Beyond any of the possibilities that I see, beyond any of the relationship that I envision, beyond anything that I can imagine, Lord, I need you to be the Father in my life. And I need you to be the Potter. I need you to shape me. I need you to form me. I need you to make me. I need you to take out what you don't see as being pleasing and necessary. Remove it, Lord. And fill me with what you want me to be. Make me useful. Make me a vessel. And I hope that's what you're feeling today. Would you come and pray? Can we let the Lord know you're my Father? You're my Potter. I'm just clay. Make me what you want me to be. Form me and shape me the way you want me to be. Oh, yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord.